I think what I would change is, here's the thing. I think most educators have compassion, and most of us go in there with a passion to serve students, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of that red tape, right? And a lot of mm-hmm. bureaucracy. And I know we've talked about that, and some of it we can take away, but just an understanding and empathy of where our educators are currently, also where our parents are currently and where our students are currently. What I dislike hearing is educators that say, well, it's the parents' fault. We have those students here. What do we do with those kids? We can't change home life most of the time, but mm-hmm. we can definitely make an impact when they're in our schools, in our buildings, and talking about that superintendent who has created relationships with those students. That's the compassion, that's the empathy that I wish all of us had.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Patty Garcia. Patty is a special education liaison at Region 14 ESC in Abilene, Texas. So, Patty, it is so great to have you. And I got through it. I got it right.
I'm so glad to be here, Janet. Thanks for inviting me. When I first got the message, I was like, is this for real? Is this spam?
Yeah, so I've heard that a lot. Believe me. Yeah.
But I'm so glad to be here to share just a little bit about what we do as special education liaisons and also here at the Service Center at Region 14. So I am an employee of Region 14. I started as a special education liaison. My background is in school psychology. So I'm a school psychologist by nature. Yeah. So when you said you're a speech path, I love my speech paths. Yeah, we worked together when we were in district.
My director of clinical services is a psych as well, school psych. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Anyway, I love that.
Yeah. So we serve at Region 14. We serve 43 different districts that can use us as a service. We're a service center. And so we're very much support. Our department is the special education department. That's where I'm housed at. And most of our services are free. We offer our services to districts. In my role as a liaison, we fall under the monitoring and compliance, but we're not monitoring and compliance. We're support for the monitoring and compliance. Agency does the monitoring, and we just help districts. We support them through that process. Every district has to do that every 6 years. I know you're in Corpus. Mm-hmm. So every district in Texas has to go through a monitoring process It's a cycle of 6 years, within 6 years. So we just help support those districts.
Have some going. Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you, but if you have 43, you have some going every single year.
Yes.
Multiple.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. This year, six districts that are going through it.
And is that through the Texas TEA?
Yes.
Education Association, I think is what it is. TEA stands
Texas
for.
Education Agency.
Agency. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I'll stop.
That's fine. So part of the special education role came about in 2017. I started 2020. So I hear my counterpart, Cody Martin.
2020. Yeah.
I know.
Okay. COVID.
During COVID. And, you know, this wasn't the role that I initially wanted to be placed in. Sometimes God just puts things in your path and you have no clue. Mm-hmm. So I got a phone call. I had already accepted a job somewhere else. And if that director listens to the podcast, I apologize again because she was a friend. I had accepted a job somewhere else. And then I get a phone call and they're like, Patty, I think you'd be really good. This opportunity has come up. And it was even a different job. And so then when I came to interview, I was told about the liaison job. And she's like, take a look at this, read it, see what it's about. So it was a whole learning curve because as a school psychologist, you're there to support your students, teachers, behavior, not the monitoring. I didn't, all of those things that didn't matter as much as what we were doing for students in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I came to this role 2020. We started virtually because we couldn't do face-to-face.
Oh, yeah, because you were in the pandemic. Yeah, I get that.
But it wasn't long before we need face-to-face, right? And so we Several of us, once we were able to, we got together in pockets and I started to meet other liaisons from across the state. And then 2021 was the year we started to come back and meet. And so now we meet every other month, face to face, and then the other months virtually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do that so that we can share resources with each other. We also, TEA sometimes comes in. Well, TEA is always present because it is a grant from TEA. But sometimes different departments from TEA will come and help support the liaisons and bring in some information. And they'll also ask us to kind of vet through some things with them. So it's been a great role. I've loved it. And I'll continue as long as there's that calling. So
awesome. That's fantastic. Then mm-hmm. this and good for you, brave person starting a new job in the middle of COVID. I love that. Yeah. You just plowed through it. That was such a crazy time. So, and it comes up a lot. You know, we still, even though people say, well, that's 5 years ago, we should be over it. And I was like, not that kind of an impact. It had such an impact on so many, the world. So no, it's still. Yeah, still going to take a while, but awesome. So tell me some of the things that you do. I know we talked a little bit about a podcast that you're involved with. I'd love to hear about that as well.
Yeah. So that podcast, so I didn't come in until 2020 and the SPED liaison role. So there was one in every service center initially, so 20, and now we're past 40. Three years later, when the grant got renewed, they sought out another liaison per service center or two.
Oh, okay.
But when it first got started, a couple of liaisons, Pam and John, started the podcast. They were challenged with, if you've heard of design thinking and just to kind of be innovative about what can they do to disrupt the status quo with our SPED students, our SPED population, and our districts. And so one of the ideas that they came up with was like, let's talk about, and we talked earlier about sharing the good things that are happening in education as well. Because we do. What do we hear? We hear all the bad statistics, all of the bad stuff. So they're really the drivers initially, and they both have gone separate ways, but we still keep in contact with them. Pam has now retired, and John is a superintendent in a small district in Texas.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So they've been guests now on our podcast. So it started back then in 2018, I believe, was the first episode with that mindset of let's share good stories and then let's also share resources. And the initial plan was just for Texas, but you know how podcasts are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can listen to them. So we've been listened to in 43 different countries. Now, don't ask me
what
countries are. And that's just from one platform that we've kept statistics on, which is Spotify. Mm-hmm. So we don't know with Apple and any other platform, we don't know what that looks like. But 43 different countries and several listeners, we are coming at our 100th episode. So that's why when you said you're over 100, I was like, how long have you been doing this?
125. Yeah, I said you were 125, but we're doing them fast. I mean, it's like we're definitely the turnaround time is still 2 months, but the outpouring, when you do something like this, and when we first started, it was like, well, is anybody even going to listen? Is anybody even going to want to be on it? And then we hired a company to help us to spread the word and to get people interested. And like you said, many people thought, is this spam? Is this spam? Mm-hmm. I've also heard from people. I had an interview with a guy probably a month ago now, but he said to his son, he said, I got this email and I'm not sure about it. Yeah. And he said, can you check on this person? And he's my generation and older anyway.
Yes.
And so he looked me up and he's like, oh, dad, yeah, that's definitely legit. She's got a huge presence at LinkedIn. And I was so he came on my podcast and I was like, that's it. I mean, those people, younger people and the people that are just fascinated and want to know. But the point being, we have gotten an outpouring. And I got to when we first started, I was like, you guys are killing me. I was like, I have to slow down. I can't do this. And we actually ended up hiring another person who manages the backside of it for us because I was like, ah. Mm-hmm. So So it's been a blessing, and it truly just, and I think too, the fact that we give it back, you know, we give everything we do back to our list or to our guests because we want that. Mm-hmm. I'm advertising on my own podcast, but and it is, I love the fact that you guys do that and that it's, you know, people are listening. This is the new radio, right? So mm-hmm. never thought I'd be a radio host or a podcast host.
Yeah, that wasn't in my cards, but right now there's 6 different SPET liaisons that are involved in this. Well, now we've gone to, we used to, it was collaborative groups, and now we've gone to project. They're called projects. And so 6 of us right now out of the 40-something liaisons are involved in this podcast. Some of them will do that marketing. Of course, this is not, we do this within our time. We don't get paid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Extra for it. It's just something that I feel has made an impact. And so we've interviewed individuals from TEA, we've interviewed parents, we've interviewed different districts, 18 plus programs. We've done a podcast in Spanish with a parent who is also a para and then became a teacher of a student that had Down syndrome and graduated and what the plans were beyond graduation. So we've kind of challenged ourselves and continue to challenge ourselves on how to make this worthwhile. But most of it are those feel good stories, which I think we need more of.
Yeah.
And they're real. They're real. Mm-hmm. They're real stories mm-hmm. of individuals who, one of the girls who is in college here at Abilene Christian University, who is wanting, actually, her goal is to become a speech path. So she graduated her undergrad and had applied for grad school. And she has she had a diagnosis of autism, or still does. And so she has a great story, and that one episode has gotten lots of good reviews and views.
Nice.
So just trying to find stories across Texas, really, because it is meant for Texas, but it can benefit anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. So tell everybody what the name of the podcast is again, so that we have that.
So it's called SPED Talk. So if you just search SPED Talk, you can come across it. So that is our logo. It's SPED Talk. It used to be SPED Talk 2020, but I think if you just search SPED Talk on Spotify, you'll get to it.
There's a big difference between being supported by somebody who's walked in your shoes and someone who hasn't. At Lighthouse Therapy, our leadership team is made up of experienced clinicians who've actually worked in schools. We understand the pressure you're under and what real support looks like. That's why our therapy solutions, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person, are built with you in mind. No complicated systems or red tape, just streamlined support and seasoned therapists who are ready to make a difference. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together. That's fantastic. So you mentioned a little bit more, a little bit about the regions and what the regions do. How can you give us a little bit more in depth of how that comes about and how that works, so that our listeners can kind of understand? Every state's got a different way that they do it. And the education service centers or ISDs or unified school districts, or, you know, take your pick. But just understanding where special education falls in the midst of all of that, what you're doing, and how you support the schools.
Sure. So service centers, there's 20 across the state of Texas, and they are divided by regions. So Region 14 is in Abilene. And again, we serve 43 different districts. Mm-hmm. And so every service center kind of works a little bit different, too. And that was one of the things as liaisons that going, and we did for a year, I think last year, the year before, we started to go across Texas and some service centers to visit those service centers as well. And so what I learned quickly is that every service center works a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But how our service center works is we have different departments, and what we've really tried to make a goal, and I think other service centers have made this goal as well, is to really not work in silos, but work collaboratively together. So we do, you know, I mentioned that we're in a special education department here within our component, that we have an early, like a Head Start component, federal programs component, but in curriculum, but we really have started to cross collaborate with each other when we go out to a district. And I'll tell you about like a most recent experience. And we presented this to TEA. We had the superintendent come in and talk about her experience when we came together as a team, instead of somebody from the special ed department calling and saying, hey, we've got your results on this report, results-driven accountability, that looks at other special populations, special education and bilingual, and we've got some concerns, and then having the curriculum call them and say, hey, your star scores, so let's make an appointment, and then having somebody else, hey, you
So we feel all like you're getting beat up from three different sides, right?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how the district felt. And to have one person that was the point of contact where we all came together and said, okay, what's going to work best for this district? And how do we share all this? And how do we support the district? Because you know, Texas Education Agency, I think they're doing their best, but sometimes they don't get the whole picture. And this is a small and whole school. Right. Mm-hmm. And so how those little bitties work when the superintendent is not just the superintendent. She's wearing that, and she's wearing all other hats.
A principal and a director of special education and probably a sped teacher. And I've worked with them for sure.
Let me tell you, this superintendent is a rock star. When we went and did classroom observations, and I think it's okay to share the district name, because I'm just going to say positive things about them. Ranger ISD within our service, one of the districts we serve. We went into those classrooms, and there wasn't one classroom that we didn't go in where a student knew her by name, and you know that she had relationship with those kids.
Right.
And I think that's what's important. She developed good relationships with her students, her teachers, and earned the trust. And so she talked about that when we presented to TEA, how that group came together, and they're still working. They're still working, and we're still working with them. But I think that the unified front from the service center makes a difference for the district, because we are a service and districts don't have to use us, right? So it's like any kind of vendor. So that's how we, you know, we're a service. We want to provide great and excellent services. And that's what we aim to do here at Region 14.
Yeah. Yeah, just preaching to the choir here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about the kids. It's all about the students. It's all about human beings and serving. And that's what education is. And, you know, it's not politics. It's definitely not something that's going to make you a millionaire, you know, but it is about the kids. And I love that so much. I do. It's a beautiful thing. And all of this is funded through you've mentioned a grant a couple of times. Explain to me how the grant works.
Yeah. So, so I mentioned also that there's different departments, and I think that's how service centers work. Yep. So within our department, and I'll say there's a grant for this role, for education liaison role. And that grant covers our services. So we're free for most things in the summertime. If we're going out and bringing in a team to do a program review, that may look a little different. And again, every service center works a little different, but our services are funded through this grant. And I think at other components, most of our services here at Region 14 are free. There are some services that the districts do have to pay into. And that just requires more time and more personnel.
Right. Yeah. So who applies for the grant, or is it something? Because, you know, grants are an area. I'll tell you, if you're an educator, you understand grants way better than a speech therapist does. I'll tell you, because I've never been. I have a friend who's a grant writer, and he, you know, and he talks about the setup and how they're really similar in a lot of different ways. But how do you when it's 40 different people across the entire state of Texas, how does a grant like that exist, and how does that work?
Right. So And again, this grant may look different than other grants. There are some grants that are competitive and so.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
And that so makes sense now.
That are competitive, you do write for. This one was like, here you go, service centers. This grant we have specific for this role that we would want help and support. I think the liaison role started again back in 2017, based on just like TEA reviews districts, mm-hmm. right? The federal government also reviews states. And so that was one of their implementation tactics. We're going to put other things, but one of the things we're going to put is this liaison so that they're communicating some information from the state level to the service centers to the district levels.
Gotcha. And so, you guys are, so in some ways, you're kind of like a middleman in
sure.
some ways. Yeah. It is one of the things about Texas that whether you love it or hate it, I love it because mm-hmm. they see the issues and they try very hard. They don't always get it right. Nobody's going to get it right 100% of the time. And when you talk about politics, and I know there's politics involved, it does change things, but Texas really does a good job of trying to support the initiatives that they have and what's going on and educating and trying to help people to be compliant, even though compliance is not always an easy thing. Yeah. And sometimes we wonder why we have to be compliant, but I have a director of finance and a director of human resources. And I tell them, your guys' job is to keep me out of jail because that stuff drives me crazy. And we laugh because they do all of the compliance stuff that just, I just pull my hair out because there's so much bureaucracy, especially when you cross a whole bunch of state lines, you know, just the way it is. And it's okay, but it's not a gift that I have at all. So I get it, but I think that's just, it's a good thing when you see people like you that have passion and are put in a role where you're making a difference.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that. One of the other, you mentioned passion, and one of the things I did want to talk about was there's a new role that was created as well called the SIL, S-I-L. And they really work with, it's a liaison role, strategic integration liaison. And the goal is to really incorporate MTSS, multi-tier mm-hmm. systems of supports within districts. And what we have found within our area, and I feel like that's the case. That may not be the case across the state, but it's the case in a lot of areas that a lot of our districts, especially our small and rural schools that have individuals like the superintendent taking on multiple roles.
Right,
It's mm-hmm. really hard for them to kind of implement something like MTSS.
Yeah.
Even mm-hmm. though it's a requirement. Like, well, how do we do great MTSS? How do we provide good? And it's not just academics, it's behavior and it's mental health. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I'm passionate about is serving our kids that are in special education, but making sure that those that are in special education really belong in special education. And if you don't have good tier one academic supports and behavior supports and mental health supports, it's going to impact our special education students the most.
Yeah.
They're the ones that all students need good tier one academic instruction. Right. But those students that struggle the most are going to be impacted the most as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And when MTSS works well, which I've seen it work incredibly well. Those kids don't end up on IEPs. You never have to do an IEP, which is the point. The whole point of it is to keep them off of an IEP mm-hmm. as much as you can, right?
Yeah.
And it's a really cool thing if you implement it. And we have several schools that we work with where our speech therapists and some of them, even our OTs, are MTSS therapists specifically for the districts so that, you know, they can help screen them and identify issues, but something that, you know, with a little, and a lot of time it's the littles anyway, but just identifying that they have a problem and catching it early, you know, and because the little brains are just developing so gosh darn fast. And the last thing we want is for a speech sound to become habit mm-hmm. you know, the way they hold a pencil or whatever. I'm not an OT, but you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. So that they can nip it in the bud before it becomes a lifelong problem or an educational problem. So mm-hmm. love mm-hmm. that so much. I do. So Patty, one last question. And I probably, sure. If you've watched my podcast, you know what it is. And you can't say money. But if you could change, if you could miraculously change, I say miraculous because I am a Christian and I believe that we have a God that can do anything. But if you could miraculously change one thing in your world of education, what would it be?
I think what I would change is, here's the thing. I think most educators have compassion, and most of us go in there with a passion to serve students, but there's a lot of that red tape, right? And a lot of bureaucracy. And I know we've talked about that, and some of it we can take away. But just an understanding and empathy of where our educators are currently, also where our parents are currently and where our students are currently. What I dislike hearing is educators that say, well, it's the parents' fault, or like, right? So it's, we have those students here. What do we do with those kids? We can't change home life most of the time, but we can definitely make an impact when they're in our schools, in our buildings, and talking about that, that superintendent who has created relationships with those students. That's the compassion. That's the empathy that I wish all of us had. And she only has it, I think, because she also, like, because that's her hometown. She grew up. She understands. And so when we don't, we come in, we make assumptions, and we go straight to removing a student instead of having a conversation with that student to find out, has there been trauma? Why are you acting the way you are? What have we done, and what can I do to support you?
Right. Yeah. Because no kid wants to just be bad. They just that's just not who they are. So kids don't react that way. I think I've said that a million times on this show too. But you know, it's like some themes are there's threads that go through all these conversations, and I love that. Great answer, by the way. Very great answer. And I know there's tons of people out there who love what they do, but they're just tired. They're just burned out. They're just, you know, and I eventually I'll get somebody on here to talk about burnout too, because it's really, it's an important piece of it as well. But you know, just as it's, we just have to love those kids and get up and love what we're doing, right? Every single day, every single day. Awesome. So Patty, where do they find, where do people go if they want to learn more about you or about Region 14 ESC?
So we have a website, region14esc14.net. So you can look that up. And again, it's SPEDTALK, SPEDTALK. SPED is capitalized and the T as well for a podcast. We are going on 100th episode. Pick one and you'll fall in love.
Nice. Yes. And we'll start listening. I absolutely will. I absolutely will. Thank you. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for what you're doing. I know that you guys are making a difference, and I love that in the great state of Texas, which is my home. Just thank you for being on Brighter Together.
You're welcome. And thank you for inviting me.